Have you ever wondered how people become entrepreneurs? How they make money without having a 9-to-5? What about the people that have made their money, acquired millions? How do they continue to have their money work for them? Knowledge is power, my people. Unfortunately, most people aren't too fond of sharing such information without a cost. So here it is for free. All I ask in return is that you pay it forward, share this info with others. This is Marla Nicole, and you're listening to Business Bullish, where we cover business and money matters from start to finish. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Marla Nicole with an MS, MS Marla Nicole, or at www.marlanicole.com. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
I am going to let you introduce yourself. I usually ask people to give us their bio, but welcome to Business Bullish, everyone. We have Angela here, and she's going to tell us her bio right now and get to know who she is and what she's all about.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, first and foremost, for having me. It's truly a pleasure to be here and to speak to your audience and your friends and your fans out there. My name is Angela Setters-Bessard. I have been working in the space of helping people understand that their credit is an investment tool as it pertains to their business and to them personally. I've been doing this for, I'm going to age myself, but that's okay. I've been doing this for more than 33 years. And the reason that I got into this business was I was emancipated when I was 16. And by the time I was 18, unfortunately, I had to file bankruptcy for a number of reasons. But I vowed to myself at that age that not only would I learn the lesson, but that I would teach and help others learn how to basically use the tools that are available to us as consumers and now business owners so that we can have a plan and project our future the right way.
Man, that is awesome. So I was telling you that I've been having a lot of conversations recently. So this podcast is so timely. Everyone knows that I have been delayed in putting out a podcast, and I promised them that my next one was going to be great. And you are like a blessing for so many people. And many of the people that I've been speaking to recently, they want to start investing and they don't know where to start. And as someone that's always been an investor, credit, like you said, is like one of the biggest investments that you can have in yourself. And What can we do, in your opinion, to help people understand the value of credit and how to leverage their credit into being able to not just have to work a 9-to-5, but to be able to make other investments that can maybe help them create generational wealth?
That's a really good question. I think it starts with helping people understand the basics. Now, you're hearing a lot out there about financial literacy, and financial literacy is this big, vast bubble. There's so much to know about being literate as it pertains to our finances. But the root of that is really being able to have a good credit score and use it the way that it's intended to be used. Now, you heard me say that it's a tool to build wealth. Now, that is truly what it is. It's a tool. And unfortunately, a lot of us either learn by default or we've had the opportunity to really learn about financial tools when we were younger. And again, like for me being 18, I unfortunately learned by failure. And that's, you know, that's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes we fail forward. And so I really think that people need to understand that first and foremost, your credit and the way that you utilize it and look at it has to be that tool and not a means to have extra money. A lot of people think that a credit card is for emergencies because, you know, in my age, that's what my grandmother used to say. You need to have a credit card for emergencies, but that's not the truth. What we know now is that it's very important to plan to have 6 to 12 months worth of living expenses, reoccurring expenditures in the bank so that you have that for emergencies and not necessarily a credit card, because the credit card is good for a lot of things, but it's not good to have a $10,000 or $20,000 emergency because you could end up having to pay that off over several months or years and compound interest. Let's not even get into that right now.
But that's a different podcast.
Yes, that's a different podcast. Absolutely. But having a really good credit score from a consumer standpoint and a business standpoint opens the doors to so many opportunities. It opens the door to home ownership. You know, it really dictates whether you actually can or can't buy a house, because a lot of people that I talk to have a lot of money in the bank. Okay. And they're frustrated and they don't understand why they can't get the best interest rate out there or why it's not easy for them to buy a home because their credit is not in a perfect place. And what we have to think about and understand is that credit equals risk. So what banks are always looking at is what is their risk assessment? And they're basing that value off of your credit history. It's the relationships that you've had. It's the risk that other people or other banks and financial institutions have taken on you, and that you've been able to demonstrate that you are a good risk. So, you know, there's so many different principles and values that come into understanding why credit is important. But the very basic thing is that your credit is important because it really shows how you value money, use money, and what kind of risk you are. And it's being used in so many vast ways. You know, right now, a lot of utility companies are actually having a tiered program where if you have really good credit, then this is what you're going to be paying per month for your utilities. If you have troubled credit, you're going to be paying more for utilities. And it really sucks because they shouldn't be doing that. But unfortunately, many industries are now using the algorithm that is used in the credit system to evaluate risk and how they should either reward their clients or unfortunately charge them more because of their credit that they have today.
That also impacts whether or not they require you to put down a deposit.
Yes. Yeah, so absolutely.
It definitely can impact your bottom line. So a couple of things that came to mind when you were going through that is, everyone, rule number one, pay your bills on time.
Yes.
Rule number two, people used to kill me with this. I don't have any credit. That's not necessarily a good thing. No credit is the same as bad credit.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Yes.
And so I'm going to tell a little personal story, and I want you to let me know what you think about this. This is something that I have done because most of my listeners are looking for information. So I always try to use myself and some of the things that I've done that have either hurt me or helped me to help other people, you know, kind of find their way. So one of the things that I have changed in terms of the way that I spend money in the last, I would say 15 years, is I no longer use my debit card for anything. I use my credit card like it's a debit card so that I'm not constantly carrying balances, but that I'm constantly using it and paying it off. And I see the value and what it brings to my credit score, because I'm staying below that 30% threshold. And I want you to address that part for our listeners as well, because again, just because you have credit doesn't mean that you have to use it or overutilize it. Yeah. So I think a lot of people don't understand that aspect as well. Again, number one, establishing credit, paying it on time, and being able to use it in a manner that is beneficial to your credit score.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what you're talking about is actually part of the algorithm that the credit scoring system uses. Okay. Now, algorithm, what does that mean? It's a mathematical equation. Okay. So when we're looking at our credit and understanding, there are different mathematical algorithms that go into giving you your credit score. And believe it or not, there's over 150 different values in that math. So we're not going to worry about all the 150. We're going to focus on the ones that are the most important. And what you're talking about, Marlo, is the utilization factor. Okay. It's very important to your credit history because, again, what banks and financial institutions are in the business to do, obviously, is to make money. And when you have an unsecured credit card, that means that they have said, hey, Marlo, you know what? We're going to trust you. We're going to give you $10,000 to utilize, and we want to see what you do with it. So if you put it in your wallet and you never use it, then you are actually a detriment to the bank instead of being a good customer. So what you're talking about, the utilization factor, is very important for a number of reasons. Number one, it tells the bank what kind of customer you are. Okay. So what I tell people to do, the days are over for when we used to, again, we use that emergency thing, put our credit cards in the safe or away. I tell this funny story. My grandmother was a Holocaust survivor. And so every year when we would go to get my jeans at Sears or whatever, right before school, she would go into her freezer and she'd pull out her block of credit cards because she had her credit cards in the freezer. And she would tell me in her thick German accent that we don't put these in our wallet because if we do, then we're tempted to use them. So the days of that are over. Unfortunately, or fortunately, banks and financial institutions want to make sure that you're utilizing and paying interest a couple times a year with the risk that they have associated to you. So by you using your credit card every month for the reoccurring expenditures that you have, whether it's you're buying gas or you're buying groceries or whatever it is that you're doing, you're showing that credit card company that you're invested in the risk that they've taken on you and that you're going to use it. Now, here's the most important part of that. Paying off your credit card every single month is really important, especially when you have a robust budget. And I'm really, really into budgeting and understanding what kind of money you're using on a monthly basis, and how you're saving, retirement, all of those things. Okay. But credit card companies want to see you pay interest on the money you use at least two times a year. If you are not paying interest on the money that you use with your credit card, unfortunately, you don't have a good relationship with that bank. And what will happen, like what they're saying is going to happen, we're going towards an economic downturn. What banks and financial institutions do is they take a global look at the credit card users they have. And if they see that you actually are not paying interest, they could close your credit card. Mm-hmm. Because again, the banks are in the business to make money.
Absolutely.
So number one, you want to use interest two times a year. Now there's a really simple way, an economic way to do that. What I do is I only have four credit cards. And what I do is I put them on my plan, but I will spend $100 that month on one credit card. When the bill comes in, I pay 80% of the bill. I leave 20% to revolve and pay interest the following month. Because again, friends, what's happening is that these are all mathematical algorithms. They're not looking at how much money you spend. They're just making sure that you're spending. Okay. Right. So in order to kind of trick the system and to use the rule of credit and get the benefit from it, I use that $100, I pay it off 80%, 20%. What am I paying? Maybe $6, $10 in interest. Yeah. And I'm getting the benefit of being a really good customer to that bank. They love me because they see that I'm actually using the credit card once every 90 days. That's another trick that we need to teach our friends is if you do have credit cards that you don't use all the time, that's okay. But at least use it once every 90 days. Because if you don't, then you risk the fact of them either closing that credit card or cutting the limit that you have on that credit card. And the reason that that's so important to protect that is because length of credit history is very important to that score that we're trying to build as well. We have to look at our credit report and the banks and the financial institutions that we do business with as a relationship. And the longer we've had a relationship with that bank, the better it does for us with our credit score and the feasibility of us getting loans in the future. So if you don't use your credit card at least once every 90 days, and you don't utilize interest or pay interest at least 2 times a year, you won't have a good relationship with that bank. Now, what I was saying about the economic downturn, what you will see happen, and people call me all the time, they're like, I don't understand. I've had this credit card for 10 years and they just closed it. And my first question to them is, have you ever paid interest to this bank? And they say, well, what do you mean? No, interest is bad. And I says, no, interest is an investment. And then I have to have this conversation with them and teach them this tool or this mind, this thought about how to actually use that credit card as a benefit. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm doing with a group of women right now that have a lot of debt is we're looking at how we can float the debt that they have. And one of the ways that you can do that is by entering into programs where there's 0% interest rates for maybe, you know, 12, 18, or 24 months. Now, if you don't have a good relationship with that bank, and they can't trust you, because that's really what it comes down to, they're not going to offer you those programs when you need them the most.
Right.
So I hope that helps to, you know, helps the listeners to understand, you know, the importance of the relationship that you have with the credit card, but also how to use it and how it benefits your credit score.
No, absolutely. You make me feel like I have too many credit cards. It's kind of funny. You know how you end up paying all of these different monthly fees? Let me see. I pay something to Apple, I guess, for a larger drive. I pay.
Oh, me too, for a terabyte. Yeah. And that's important.
Exactly. But what I'm going, where I'm going with that is I have so many of those little charges that I use probably every credit card that I have. And what I have learned through my mistakes in the past, where I've made a couple of, you know, 30 day lates because I forgot to pay because I never use that card. So it's not on my radar. Every single card that I have or that I get, I set it up to automatically make a minimum payment so that if in the event I ever forget, it's going to always be paid. And sometimes I accidentally pay interest because of that. However, it's never late. It's always paid and it's always being used and it's being used continuously. Now, as a result, what I have found is I get overwhelmed sometimes because I do have probably too many cards, is the offers for an increased line of credit or the credit just goes up, which is great in terms of, again, building the credit. So people, pay it on time. Keep your balances relatively low, 30%. Pay interest at some point. How many times did you say? At least
2 times a year. That's it. Just 2 times a year.
Mm-hmm. At least 2 times a year. Build that relationship with your bank. And again, there are so many small charges that you can find to be able to use those credit cards. Gas. I would say go for those cards with the cash back. I love cards that give me cash back. Just as an example, and I'm not advertising or promoting Apple, but Apple has a great cash back program where sometimes I get 2 and 3% cash back. As a result, because I do everything through Apple Pay now, I'm getting 3% cash back. So I love using that card on most purchases because I look forward to what I've gotten in Apple Cash this month. And to be honest with you, last month I had like $400 in Apple Cash.
Yeah.
Just from using it, paying, and I'm talking groceries, you know, things for the bar, just, you know, generally speaking, expenses. So there is a good reason to use your credit card for purchases versus your debit card. You're not getting a benefit when you're using your debit card as though it's a credit card.
Yes, 100%. And let's talk about those that do have too many credit cards. It's very, very important to consolidate your utilization. And I tell people to do that for a number of reasons, but Marlo, you just expressed that sometimes it can be a little bit scary, so to speak, because you have so much responsibility to stay on tap or track all of those expenses and things. Now, here's one thing that you can do, friends, that will help you with that particular situation. With every single credit card that you have, okay, you can set up alerts to text you or email you. You can also set spending limits on all of your credit cards. So if you're someone who has been, someone who's gotten into a lot of trouble with credit cards, I do a lot of work with people that have had that problem. They're afraid to use credit cards because they filed bankruptcy or they got into so much trouble. And the thing is that you have to learn how to trust yourself again, and you got to take baby steps in order to do that. But going back to when you have too many credit cards, I really think that it's important to consolidate and only have 4 credit cards. Now, number one, I want to tell you that retail credit cards are not something that you need. And one of the reasons why a lot of retail organizations like Neiman Marcus or Nordstrom's or whoever they are that a lot of people shop at, the reason why they've partnered with American Express and partnered with Visa was in the past, if you had a Nordstrom card, well, you couldn't go to Costco and use your Nordstrom card. You could only use it at Nordstrom. Okay. Right. But now they've partnered with these different, you know, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, so that people can use their credit cards anywhere that they go. But they're still higher interest than what a normal credit card will charge you. So what I do is I only have 4 credit cards, and they have very high utilization limits so that I can use them when I go out of the country or however I'm setting up my spending on a monthly basis. If I'm going to use those credit cards, I'm able to do that, and I don't need the retail cards, or I don't need some of the smaller credit cards. Now, let's talk about this. I have a sister who is married to an extremely wealthy man. And one day I went over to her house and I looked on her desk, and I'm not joking, she had a stack of bills that was this high. And I looked over there and I was like, what is that? And she says, oh, those are my credit card bills. And I said, what? And so we sat down, and Marlo, she had over 52 credit cards. Now, wow.
I don't think I'm at that limit.
Yeah. Now, the reason why she had those is because every time she'd walk into some place, they'd say, take our credit card because we'll give you 10% off of your transaction. Friends, let me tell you, it's not worth it. It's not worth the 10% off, because do you know how many people I talk to that come to me and need to repair their credit because they forgot that they went to Banana Republic and spent $1,000 and put it on a credit card? Just use your regular credit card. So again, consolidating and making things easier. It makes paying your bills easier. It makes budgeting easier. It just makes managing your credit so much easier. You know, with your business, you always want to make sure that you separate and have business credit cards. And with your personal, you want to have personal credit cards and whatever your personal debt is. But, you know, as far as having too many credit cards, it can be extremely dangerous to have that many credit cards because you have too much to keep up with.
Yes, I'm going to try to figure out, you can help me figure out how to consolidate them without having them close the account, because I don't want that to impact my credit history. And I don't want that to lower my amount of spending as well, because all of that contributes to credit score as well. So I need to balance.
Absolutely.
Got to figure out how to balance that.
Yes, you do have to figure out how to balance that. But here's one thing I want to say about that. Okay. It's okay to close credit cards as long as you have a plan. And this is why we sit down and we plan and project how we're going to do that. Now, you brought something up that's super important, that it brings down your credit score when you close a credit card or open a new account. The reason for that is I said in the beginning that the credit scoring system is a mathematical algorithm. So every time you deduct something or you add something, I'll put it this way, it confuses the system. So it sends up these red flags that there's something to look at. But the thing is that it's only temporary. It only affects your credit score for 60 to 90 days. And then after that, you go right back to where you were. So the key to that is getting the increases in the lines that you want to keep, and then getting rid of the low-hanging fruit that you don't need any longer. And you want to do this during an opportune time. And what I mean by that is you're not going to be buying a car. You're not going to be getting a loan. You're not going to be buying a house. You're not going to really do anything with your credit while we're consolidating and reorganizing the best way for you to have credit cards and use your credit. So for 120 days, you're really not doing anything. And it doesn't matter if your credit score is a little bit lower because you're not going to be using it to purchase anything. Does that make sense?
No, it makes a lot of sense. And so one of the things that I've been talking to a lot of my close and, you know, friends and family about recently is investing. I am so tired of people not having the funds to do things that they want, or being angry or depressed and all those things that come along with not being happy. And people will always say, you know, money doesn't buy you happiness. While that is very true, it does give you a sense of peace and freedom to not have to worry about how you're going to afford something, why you can't go a certain place, why you can't go out to eat when you feel like it. And so I really want to help people get past that hump. And again, you know, what I said in the beginning is there's so many people that just don't know where to get started. So what I'm going to tell my friends and family that are listening is get started with your credit. And one of the things that Angela mentioned is trusting yourself, not just trusting yourself to get your credit right, but trust yourself to make investments in things that are going to benefit you, not things that are going to create more debt, more heartache, and more frustration in the future, because now you have to figure out how to pay for it. You look great, but you're broke. Yes. You got to get past that. And so Angela, what Angela does with credit and helping people is so important. And I just want you, if you can tell people how they can contact you for your business, if they are, you know, interested in really taking their life to the next level, because at the end of the day, it starts with your credit. So
it's about having a plan. What I tell people all the time is, listen, if we don't have a plan, then we plan to fail. Absolutely. And everything in life is about planning. When you're going on a vacation, what do? You sit down and you make a plan. Well, that's the same thing we need to do in life. And most importantly, in our finances, because what you said is that it's about money mindset. And yeah, you know, having a bunch of money, does it make you happier? Well, it helps. It definitely helps. Let
doesn't
me tell
hurt.
You,
doesn't hurt.
Being
That's
broke
for sure.
Is not fun. It's not fun. And we live in this country where there's no excuse to be broke. Honestly, there's so many opportunities that we have to, like you said, invest. But I think it all starts with investing in ourselves and investing in our mindset to help us understand that we deserve it. We can do it. And sometimes we just need a coach, a cheerleader to help us realize that. And that's what I'm in the business to do, is to help people realize how powerful they are and the tools that are available to them if they'll just grab them. So the best way to get a hold of me is just to go to my website. It's super easy. It's just my name, angelabassard.com. You spell my last name as B as in boy, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, A-R-D as in David, angelabassard.com. There's all the information about me, but you can connect with me there. We can set up a free 15-minute evaluation. We can talk about things, and then you can decide if you want to work with me or if you want to invest in taking a class. I also do classes. every single month where there's, you know, a few people on the class. So you have to share personal information with them. But if you're okay doing that, then that's what is meant for you to do. But that's the way to get a hold of me, Marlo.
Okay, that is absolutely wonderful. So after you talk to Angela and figure out your personal plan to build your credit or establish credit, or just, you know, put yourself in a better position to invest, I will be the first one to promise you that whatever questions you have in regards to investing, whether it's investing in business, investing in real estate, investing in development, I will answer those questions for you. I try to do these podcasts so that they are helpful to move people forward. There are no secrets. I feel like there is enough money in the world for everybody to be successful. I have nothing to hide. I will share my failures as well as, you know, things that have worked for me. I think that that is the best way for people to learn. But I am going to tell you that first and foremost, you have to get over the fear of investing in yourself. Okay. Yes. The Absolutely. Worst thing that can happen is that you get a no. And one thing I learned when I was a child is that no is not always permanent. So yes. It could be a no today, but as you continue to work on whatever that goal is, building your credit, I want to buy a house, I want to invest in a business, I want to invest in the stock market, whatever your goal is, it is possible.
Yes.
It is possible. We were all born in this world with nothing.
That's right.
For people with the trust fund. However, but generally speaking, we were born here with nothing, and we have to create a way for ourselves. And hopefully we do it well enough to create a way for our children and yes. our children's children, because knowledge is power, and everything that you're learning here and in any other format where you get this type of information for free, hopefully you pass that on to your kids.
Yes. Yes.
You have to share this information. Okay.
So important. So important. The greatest gift that we can give our children and our grandchildren is the gift of literacy, financial literacy. It's the greatest gift that we can give to them. And also sharing our failures. Yes. What did we do in life? It's okay if you failed. It's okay. That just means you have a lot more knowledge and information. Share that with your kids, share that with your friends. Don't be afraid to do that, because people need to know that not everyone is perfect. You know, we all have situations that we grow through, but it's about that, growing through it.
Yes. I don't even use the word failed. I like to say I learned a lesson, because that's the only way I see it. If I consider anything that I do that didn't work perfectly, a failure, I probably wouldn't do it again. But mm-hmm. as long as in my mind, again, the mindset, as long as I know that that was a lesson to do it differently the next time, I keep going.
Yes. Amen.
Thank That's you, all I have Angela. To say, amen. Thank you, Angela, for joining us today on Business Bullish. Again, angelabassard.com. Get your credit together, get your money right, and we can do this together. Thank you again, Angela, for everything.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye, friends.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Business Bullish. You can watch us on YouTube, read it on MarloNicole.com, or listen to it worldwide on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Don't forget to press that subscribe, follow, or like button, and share it with friends and family. There is so much information out there, enough for us all to win. Remember, sharing is caring.